Good. Well, that's what we do. You can talk about it and you can pray about it. And then if God is sovereign, then it's okay. I mean, that's sort of what we're talking about, seeing God's hand in, behind everything. You know, and by speaking these things and affirming that God is in control, you know, even at the time we're saying, you know, I'm frustrated and I'm ticked off and, you know, whatever. But God is in control. Then that allows him to, a place to move in and do something.
This is a perfect example, I think, of what we've been talking about counting the over. That, like in your case, surely you know that there have been times when what you would be fretting about would be, how am I going to get $5 to go to the corner and score? Or how am I going to do this or that or whatever? Which clearly we would all agree is a bad thing. You've seen through that. Well, now your temptation is to fret over taking care of your mother, and your sister shouldn't steal from her, and all the things that we would all agree are good.
A good thing to worry about, yeah.
These are all good things to worry about. Like right now, I mean, I'm all worked up over the situation with Olin. So being concerned about Olin, blah, 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 well, that's a good thing. Well, it's got to be let go. The good stuff, the stuff that we would call good is no better than the stuff we would call bad.
And God provides us a place to let it go. You know, that's what's good. Otherwise, we would just walk around, wound up like a spring, you know, totally twisted out.
And the guilt from not doing the good, it's just a way to feel alive. It's a bad way to feel alive, but it's just a way to feel alive. But that's the kind of stuff that won't cause you or me in particular, to scream at kick the cat out of the guilt over not doing the good thing. Well, you know, it's just bullshit. Yeah. So good for you.
Anybody else?
Just thinking about a similar thing as Ronnie. Michael Malamas has become by. He lost his job, about to lose his place.
Yeah. What's important to see is that, you know, if God wanted to use us to help somebody, then us being worried about stuff is going to block anything he wants to do anyway. So it's like, you know, first we figured out, you know, in our mind what we think God wants to do, and then we want to worry about it to help him get to that place that we think he's going. And the best thing for us to do is just to get out of the way.
All the worrying and fretting is exactly what you see when you see these people making a pilgrimage to Kabul or wherever they went, hitting themselves with chains and cutting their heads with blood. That's all that is. That's worry and concern.
Yeah.
The same thing. It's an
objectified vision of that.
It's a way of pain. Just as crazy. What's crazy, but probably.
Yeah, and the opposite of that is what has been revealed to us, which is Christ has finished it on the cross. If you have a Bible, turn to Isaiah 12. Yeah. Because we read in Isaiah 11 about how the Messiah does not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. And you go through this whole thing about what that means and And then it says, starts talking about in that day, all these things are going to happen. You know, the Lord will set, you know, recover the remnant from captivity. And then it gets down to a very short chapter, chapter 12. And it's like when it says in that day, for us, it's the day we understand this thing back in 11 verse 3, which is not judging after the sight of your eyes. When we understand that God is the judge, He's got it under control, our evaluations of things are like air. Then it's in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise Thee. We can't really praise God if we're still judging good and evil, because according to our evaluation, you know, there may be a couple of things to praise God about, but then there's all these other things that we judge to be bad going on with us or with anything. And it, you know, the only way to really praise God is to see through everything. And when you do, then He is magnified. He is glorified. And then there's this, you know, He is everything. I will praise Thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. That position is eternal. That's the finishedness of the cross. Thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away. It's turned away because Christ took it all. And now all that's left is this Holy Spirit in a position of comforting, laying down alongside us, and everything, sort of, this is a look towards, a glimpse towards what we talk about at Pentecost. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord, even the Lord, is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Another reference to the coming of the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit, you know, it's like a bubbling up spring coming out of the very innermost being, you know, constantly. That's what drawing the wells out of the water out of the wells of salvation is, the opposite of what we saw as a plague on the river of Egypt. You know, this is the true source of life. Where once we worship the river of Egypt as a source of life. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His doings among the people, make mention that His name is exalted. And this is counting the Omer. I mean, you declare His doings among the people is recognizing that God is doing stuff, rather than recognizing that stuff is happening, you know, to me, randomly. And, you know, I'm evaluating it and dismissing a whole bunch of stuff and wishing other stuff would happen. And, you know, that's not declaring His doings, because we're not seeing Him doing anything. To declare His doings comes when you see His doings. And if, you know, if we don't see it, there's no declaration of that. Declare His doings among the people. Make mention that His name is exalted. And that happens automatically because that's what, like I said, He is magnified the more we see Him everywhere. His name will be exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for He has done excellent things. See, this verse evaluates everything for us. The Lord has done excellent things. So, you know, all those things that we think are bad and maybe a little less than excellent, anywhere in between there, is in error. It's just wrong. And that's what, you know, the barley cake thing and counting the Omer is all about. The barley cake rolls into our brain and destroys all of those places where we see God doing anything that's less than excellent. This is known in all the earth. and it will be known throughout your whole earth, earthen vessel. And that's what our experience, like every year, counting the Omer, makes it known in some new place within us. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. If we remember that we're in Zion, that we are Zion, that there has to be this dry place from which the life comes miraculously, then we can quit trying to figure out what it is that needs to happen. Because, you know, it's supposed to be a dry place of everything except this life that's happening, that comes without our help, without any kind of foreknowledge on our part. It just surprises us. You know, we draw waters from the well of salvation that are the sweetest waters of life. They're genuine. They're not fake. The springing up of the branch out of the dry ground is, it's like to see that is to experience what happens if you're like in a desert, you know, and you see something like that happen. You know, it's like from out of nothing comes this thing that's full of life, surrounded by death and wasteland. Guard dog. And so that's the end of the this, you know, it's a couple of passages. Starts off about not judging after the sight of your eyes, saying that Messiah doesn't do that, so we're not going to do that because the servant is not greater than the master. And the result is that in that day, you'll be able to praise God. All these things will happen, like in chapter 12. And so that means we can go through today and praise God. Or we can choose to see all the stuff that, you know, according to our evaluation and judgment, which will keep us in some fantasy world that maybe we're in a, you know, semi-nice place that could be nicer if we made it nicer, you know. Instead of seeing that we're in Zion and that every bit of life is precious and we rejoice in every moment because we see it coming up in that moment. So.
This passage reminds me of long, long time ago, about the year before I heard this doctrine. I'll tell somebody, you know, there's that line in the song, great things he has done. And I'll tell them, you know, I don't know what great things he's done. Like, I had a longing to know what it was.
Yeah, it's perfect, yeah. And it's, you know, it's all the stuff you think about, but it's also all the other stuff. You know. So we magnify his doings by seeing that very thing.
The thinking about Babylon and how we think, the scripture says his anger is turned away from me. Well, it really hasn't. Which you see,
we've gotten out of ourselves.
Yeah, you agree with God that you must die. Therefore, it's no longer anger.
Yep.
So the thing in the church is you serve God and your circumstances will improve, or there's something will change. And today is not going to be any different than it was going to be before we read this. But his revelation in today is,
yeah, hopefully,
changes everything from our
yeah.
perspective.
Amen. So, disperse to your homes.
My father,
be warmed and fed.
My father has worked with a guy, and he's the quintessential movie German scientist guy. He actually came over.
Oh, yeah?
He had a thick accent. Doctor. I can't remember his name. Anyway, he told me this story. He was a child during World War I. He was in Austria or something like that. And his family was killed, and his village was destroyed, and he was hiding in the forest or something like that the whole winter. Some terrible story. And everything was destroyed. It was like, I think he was like 10 years old or something like that. And he said that he thought the world would come to an end in pure total desolation, Zion. And he said that the thing that turned his life around was in the spring. He was trying to make it somewhere and going across country, and he was crossing the stream, and it was thawing, and in the stream was a body of a soldier who had been killed, like 8 months, 10 months earlier, something like that, with a rifle stuck in the bayonet, stuck in the body. And here's this rifle sticking in the air.
Wow.
And the stock had sprouted.
That's weird.
Wow.
What a picture.
He said it just completely changed his life.
That's a great illustration.
Amazing.
Gee, that's weird. That must have been like churning out these,
it was
these
it was
guns. Red. You know, the right. thing was so green
it
was like
should have been used. Yeah. And it was still alive and sprouting.
That's a great story. Yeah. You should put that in your memoirs.
Put it in my book.
Yeah, about Trinity Founders. Well, do we have anything we need to talk about things that need to happen today or anything like that? I won't be here.
I won't be here.
It's a car day.
I'm waiting until we get down to the down so far where somebody's going to have to be using my car and I get to ride my bicycle to work.
Could
we do that? Yeah. Josanna won't let me. She's got this silly idea like cars might run over you or something,
I assume we're going to be doing the grocery shopping by bicycle. Missionaries.
Yeah, put little, one of those little things with the kitty thing on the back. And yeah, that'd be bad. New uniforms. Uniform standards. Well, man. Everything's perfect, so. You're out of order. Well, bless you and keep you. Go. Do your thing.
Maybe.
Do that Levi thing, yeah.
You didn't cough that much.
Yeah.